crew, and it always lifts my spirits when we come together in community to work in the church and outside and wherever else it may be, and I can hardly wait till the next work day.
I'd like to ask prayer again for my friend Catherine. She has been, after gallbladder surgery, still been very, very ill, in and out of the hospital. But this Thursday, they think they found a second leak in her system that has really been causing her a lot of pain. So hopefully this is the problem, and pray for recovery and strength. She's very weak after all of this time.
I am so grateful for my church family. Yesterday, a whole bunch of you came out to my home and painted it for me. And it makes me feel very special and very blessed. And I appreciate all of you, even the ones that didn't come. This is a good church, and it's a good place for me to be. And I appreciate that.
You'll hear more about this in the sermon. Others. I'd like continued prayers for Melinda Brelsford, who isn't up to par just yet, and also Nancy Moreland, who had a fall this week, and she's sort of nursing it. And for my brother Jim, who just has a small lesion on his shoulder, but hopefully that will clear up. Thank you very much.
I have a praise. Our friends, the Howletts, who lost their little girl Labor Day weekend last year, they delivered twin boys yesterday. Two healthy boys, and also just prayers for Lynn. He's en route home from Indianapolis. So,
prayers. Thanksgiving.
I'd like continued prayers for Alexandra and her family, and for a work friend that I just learned that she has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And whenever she has chemo, she has to be in the hospital for 5 days. Then needs at least a week off, and then another 5 days. It sounds like this is going on and on and on, so she can use prayers that go on and on and on.
This is a prayer request and a call to action for our focus group this afternoon to look at public school education in Providence. If you can't be here at 4:30 to join with us, we're going to go over the history of what PPC has done with the public schools, and also look at the public school system itself. And Alice Cooper will be here to give us firsthand knowledge of what happens in the classroom. So we'd love to have you here at 4:30, but if you can't be here, please pray for us.
And if you have questions about it and want to reach out to Cheryl and let us know of your interest, that would be great too. So,
I have a joy and three concerns. My joy is that we vote on November 6th and put an end to attack ads and robocalls. My three concerns are three of the questions that Rhode Islanders will be voting on. Questions 1 and 2 will authorize state-operated casino gambling at Twin River and Newport Grand. I encourage you to vote no on questions 1 and 2. Why? I consider gambling to be the most insidious evil of our time. A beguiling, subtle evil that masquerades as something good. Gambling is promoted as economic development. It is not, in my opinion. Normally, if not always, gambling interests promise more than they deliver, whether it's jobs, money for education, or tax relief. My theology tells me that God gives into our care everything that we have and are, so that we may then use all that we have and are for God's glory, which to me does not include casting money to the fates in the delusion of gaining much for nothing, while many, many people lose money, and while a growing percentage of the population gains an addiction. My theology tells me the God we worship is a caring and merciful God of justice and peace, who loves us and cares for us, and we cannot thereby justify turning our lives over to the arbitrary, fickle fates. I invite you to read the booklet that was mailed to you and consider voting no on questions 1 and 2. But please consider voting yes on question 7, which calls for Rhode Island to issue general obligation bonds, refunding bonds, temporary notes, whatever that is, in the amount of $25 million, which is to be used to create affordable housing, redeveloping existing structures, and building new homes. Affordable housing is in short supply, if not nearly non-existent in Rhode Island. Please read the booklet and consider voting yes on 7 and no on 1 and 2. Thank you.
And it is a joy this morning to see Donna Marburger with us this morning. Donna, we prayed for you for many weeks, as many people in many churches all over the place did. And it's great to have you getting a chance to play with your daughter this weekend. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Whoops.
Just prayers for my grandfather, who I was up visiting yesterday. He's 85, and he's pretty much on hospice at this point. Just prayers that the process goes well. Thanks. Great.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your constant presence with us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We are so grateful for the cross and the resurrection, and we put our hope in you. Thank you that you have forgiven our sins, that you have taken the weight and the crushing burden of our sin from us. Thank you, God, that we can live lives of love because of your love for us. Thank you, God, that we can rest assured of life forever, that even as we age and as our bodies decline, that we know that you are bringing the renewal and life of all things. We put our hope in you. And God, we lift up all these concerns today. We pray for Shirley Jones as she is recovering from surgery, and we pray that you would comfort and heal and strengthen her body. We pray, God, for Jim Lockhart's sister and her family. And God, we thank you for this faith community that is surrounding her and her family. And we pray, God, that you'd continue to watch over them and comfort them in the loss of Wesley. God, we pray for safe travel for Jim as he comes home this evening. God, we pray for Elizabeth Massey and her family as she is approaching death after a bad fall. We pray, God, that you would surround them with your love. Lord, we also pray for Walter Jr. and for Edith. We pray, God, that you would lift up Alice's friend, Catherine. God, we pray that you would strengthen her body and that you would guide the doctors as they try to figure out what's going on. We pray, God, that you would heal her. We pray for Melinda Brelsford, that you would strengthen her and give her soundness in her mind and in her health, that you would give her wholeness and shalom. We pray for Nancy Morin, that you would strengthen her, and for Julie's brother, Jim, that you would ease the pain in his shoulder. We pray for CJ's friend with lymphoma, that you would give her strength to bear up under the chemotherapy, and that you would give her endurance and healing. We pray for Alexandra and her family for healing and strength. God, we pray also for Phil's grandfather in hospice. And God, we pray for him in his last days, that you would ease his pain, and God, that you would give him just a sense of your presence with him, and that he would approach the end of his life really well, and pray for any conversations in their family that need to happen, and that you would bring about a good end to his life. God, we also pray for other needs in our church and in our community. We pray for Judy as she travels to the synod meeting this week, and as the synod is in transition. God, we pray that you would give them wisdom in the decisions that they make, and that you would especially foster a greater connection between churches and presbyteries and the synod, and that they would work really well together and find ways to do that. We pray, God, also for the state of Rhode Island as we vote on some very important issues November 6th. And God, we pray that you would help us to vote with wisdom and with faith and with love, rather than in ways that are self-seeking at the expense of others. We pray for an increase in affordable housing and that you would care for the homeless in Rhode Island. And God, we pray that you would help us as a state to find better ways to develop economically that would not jeopardize people who are vulnerable to gambling. We pray, God, for public education in Providence and in our state. We thank you for the ways that we have been privileged to be involved and to start caring and learning about schools and how to strengthen public education. And we pray for the meeting today at our church, that you would give wisdom and that you would empower us for mission and to be your hands and your feet of love. We pray, God, that you would improve the schools in our city and in our state, and that children would thrive. We pray, God, for all the joys and the delights, and thank you for the ways that you bless us. God, we thank you for the healthy arrival of baby Dawson for the Bay family, and we pray for strength and for joy in this time as they get used to being a family of five. We thank you, God, for the wonderful work day yesterday at church and for the delight that Suzanne and others had in serving and doing this work together. Thank you, God, for the finished house painting for Barbara and for the ways that you have blessed her and the ways you've blessed all of us by being a part of this community. Thank you, God, for all the ways that you've answered our prayers. Thank you for answering prayers for the Fishers' neighbors and for these twin babies that were born to them. And we thank you, God, also for being with Donna Marburger and for blessing Lori and answering prayers that they could be here together today. We pray for all who are traveling, for Lynn as he returns from Indiana. And God, we thank you for all the gifts that you shower on our lives, for the long-term relationships and family and love that you've brought to each of us. And we pray for the daily blessings and gifts. And God, we pray that you would open our eyes to savor the gifts that you bring our way and that you'd give us grateful hearts. And God, we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hey, you were sitting in the right place. You got here quick. Is anybody else here? There's one. Who else is coming? Hyerson. Well, all right. You gonna come? All right. So I would like to know how many of you know how to swim? A bunch of you did. A little bit? Okay. So, who wants to tell me how they learned how to swim? Yeah? You want to tell me?
How did you learn how to swim? I took swimming lessons.
Well, that was a smart thing to do. How did you learn to swim?
I watched my sister.
Oh, that's always good. Anybody else learned how to swim? How did you learn to swim?
Well, my dad taught me how to swim.
So teachers, that's are pretty important. Well, yeah, I wanted to tell you about how I learned to swim, okay? And I brought something here. Anybody know what this is? What's that? It's a floaty thing, right? It's kind of a floaty thing. And yeah, well, they didn't have that kind when I was little. And so, I don't know, this probably doesn't fit on me anymore. Does it fit?
No.
No, maybe it fits on one of you. But when I was a little boy, I had one of these, and my mom taught me to swim, but I had one of these things to kind of help me swim, and I used to swim all over with my little, what we used to call it, a little bubble on, okay? And, but my parents said, you can swim without a bubble, and I said, no, I need this bubble, because if I don't, I'll drown, okay? And my father was a pretty sneaky guy, okay? So what he did is one time, while I was sitting there, I was sitting on the side, and he said, let's have a game of chase, okay? And I had been swimming, but I took the bubble off and put it beside me, okay? And so I was chasing my father, and we were running around in the grass, and then he ran towards the pool, and he jumped in, and what do you think I did? I jumped in after him, and he swam across the pool, and what do you think I did? I swam right after him, and then he looked at me, and he said, where's your bubble? And I looked, and I saw I didn't have it. I learned that I could swim. Well, why am I talking about bubbles? Well, the scripture lesson today is about a rich, really rich man, and he went to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, what do I have to do to have eternal life, to be part of your kingdom? And Jesus said, you have to follow the Ten Commandments. And the guy said, I know that. I follow all the Ten Commandments. And then what Jesus said is, give up all of your money to the poor. And then the man was very troubled because he had a lot of money. And the reason I was kind of thinking about money is I think money is sometimes like a little bubble, okay? We kind of have it on us because we think we need it to follow, to live our lives and so forth. Okay, and I don't think Jesus necessarily wants us to give up all the good things that we have, but I think God, that Jesus wants to know that we can follow him and we can live with him without that. We don't want to depend on our money for everything, that we can depend on God for everything. Okay, so that's why I was thinking about the bubble. The bubble is like the things that we hold on to instead of holding on to God. Right, so let's say a little prayer. Dear God, you give us so many gifts. Help us to remember that those gifts are from you, and that in the end, our lives depend on you and not on those gifts. Amen.
Children ages 3 through elementary school are excused to their classes downstairs and the middle school class upstairs.
Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Hear now the word of the Lord. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the word of the Lord. Our hymn is number 428, "We Give Thee But Thine Own."
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, pour forth your Spirit on these challenging words that you speak to us through your word. Bless our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's a text that appears remarkably similarly in all four Gospels, or in all three of the four Gospels, not in John. This lectionary text in Mark for this week, which challenges us to reorient how we experience God in our lives. My microphone is way too loud. We come from many different places in this congregation, in our backgrounds and in our histories, in our resources, in our passions and our challenges, and we come into this rich diversity, and that's challenging for us to hear a passage like this, because some of us are very, very comfortable in our financial resources, and others of us are living on the edge. It can take, as we know and have heard in our prayers from week to week here, can take only a moment for life to move us from one category to the next. And we definitely see that in our world around us. This is a text that challenges our individual relationships with Jesus one-on-one, close up. And it's easy to jump over that first part of the message that Jesus brings to this young man and to just focus on follow me with however that works for you kind of aspect. I realized that in looking at this text again, that I tended to ignore the other parts of the story, that part about selling all that I have and giving to the poor. I don't really like that part of the story because it doesn't seem very practical in today's world when we all need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves, building our own senses of security, wearing our bubble, as Andrew would tell you. Isn't that what we hear in the political realm of these days? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? That seems to be the echo that comes again and again to me. So it's a challenging and a discomforting text as it reminds me about how much I really have when others, some in this community, have so much less. I am one of those rich that Jesus is talking about here. All of us who live in the United States, no matter what our income levels are compared to most of the rest of this world. Most of us live daily in great privilege and wealth and take too little time to count those blessings. But Jesus challenges us in this text to look at that, to look at it where our spirits and energies are oriented. And yes, this is one of Jesus' texts about money, even though it isn't stewardship season yet. Money and how we view and use it is an important aspect of our spiritual lives. 1/6 of Jesus' words have to do with money. The only subject that he talks more about in Scripture and to his disciples was the kingdom of God, and here he combines the two of them together. What I hope that we can do in these few minutes together, however, is to look below the surface to begin to understand why Jesus would challenge this young man in such a way and so come to a point of understanding and challenge for our own lives today, a message of hope and new life. First, we must recognize that this is a young man who was seeking to be faithful to Jesus. He sincerely wants to know what it takes to inherit eternal life, and he seeks to follow that goal. The initial part of the explanation is reassuring to him because he is living a moral life, keeping the commandments faithfully. He's a good guy. He's doing the right things. And most of us around here behave pretty well most of the time. You're here. You're supposed to laugh there. You are here today, and I am here today, because we're on that quest to seeking something beyond the day-to-day, to be inspired, to be more faithful, to catch that spirit that enables that to be a possibility. Jesus challenges this young man to go deeper. Jesus looks at the young man we read in Scripture and loved him, and he says, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." It's an interesting turn of words, isn't it? Jesus loved the young man. Jesus did not look at the young man and say, "You need to give it all up now." Jesus loved the young man. He says, "You lack one thing." Not you haven't done everything you should have, or there's only one thing left to do, but you lack one thing. Something is missing from this young man's life. Jesus loves this young man, and he wants him to have everything in life. So secondly, Jesus says, sell what you have. It's been interesting to me to see that the commentators on this text, particularly in the United States, it's not so with some of the international folks that comment on this, have gone to great pains to try to reconcile this command with the sense of self-responsibility that we encourage in our culture. Take care of yourselves, plan for the future, be prepared for whatever may come your way. What is your five-year plan for your ministry and the ministry of this congregation? Sell what you have doesn't really fit well into that equation. It's not very practical. Surely there must be some other way to understand this part of the text. But Jesus' command is linked to the first part of this dialogue. You lack one thing. Go sell what you have. Go do what seems totally illogical sometimes. Church is a great way to practice that way of living, because the opportunities to give beyond our usual are always before us. Did you count how many there were in this morning's announcements? Week by week. I remember when I first came to serve this church about 10 years ago that after listening to the announcement section once, I decided this wasn't Providence Presbyterian Church anymore. It was the Church of the Eternal sign-up list. There's always something to reach out of our comfort zone to join. And two more were announced this morning to help with the fall festival and to reach out and lend a hand to our Camp Street's food pantry. A couple of hours in your week, an opportunity to maybe step into something new that you've never tried to do. All of us here lead very busy lives. Yet on a beautiful day yesterday, 20 plus of us came out yesterday to the church workday. It's interesting to me that Friday was kind of gray and dismal, and today is kind of more gray and dismal. I grew up with that in Washington State, so it doesn't really bother me. But yesterday was spectacularly beautiful. And 20 of us came out for that workday and to paint Barbara's house, and there was great spirits, great donuts and bagels. Even enough to share at coffee hour today. See, loaves and fishes happening here. Clean refrigerators, rejuvenated yard, and new paint on our doors, and a whole house painted. By the end of the day, those of us at Barbara's were all fully supplied with something we didn't really expect to have happen at the end of the day. And you hear, oh, go back one more, Jay. This is the moment. This is the moment that Barbara came out at the out on her front porch and said, "You guys need look like you need a joke." And we had the most fun reliving seventh grade bad jokes that we have ever had. First joke that started it off was two sandwiches walk into a bar. And one of them says to the bartender, "Can you give us a drink?" And the bartender says, "Nope, we don't serve food here." But my personal favorite, what did the grasshopper say when it hit the windshield? "I'd do it again, but I don't have the guts." You missed it. You missed it. Jesus reminds the young man that all that he has is subject to following Christ, and it can be great fun. And that we must look to the whole of our lives, our attention, our priorities, and our resources as we seek to follow Christ. Time is money, to be sure. And it's a gift in this church which has enabled it to do amazing things over the years with very few dollars. It's an amazing thing that levels the playing field for those who have much and those who have but time. But money is important too, and it's an area for our growth in this congregation. We'll be hearing more of that in the weeks ahead. I promise, not every week ahead. But for example, I was very interested to learn, and you might be too, in our session analysis of our financial health in these days, that three of our households in this congregation, of the nearly 114 givers, which is huge, because we only have 90 households that are members of this congregation, but we've had 114 households giving this year. That is huge. But three of those households have given almost one-third of the dollars that have come into this church in this year so far. $47,000 from three households. Unless you tell me, and I'm not telling you you have to, I don't know what you give. And only you can answer the question if you are growing in this aspect of your spiritual life. This is a text of Scripture which challenges us to look at that aspect of our lives. Something is standing in the way of the fullness of life for this man that Jesus intends for all of his people, and it has to do with his money. There is an implication that what this man has gets in the way of what he can be and the fullness of life that he can enjoy. Remember those seventh grade jokes that you could have had too. When I was in seminary, one of the experiences I had in ministry was to work the overnight shift as a counselor on the suicide prevention phone lines in San Francisco. I was surprised to learn in my training for that work that San Francisco has one of the highest suicide rates in the country, in part because of the lure of the Golden Gate Bridge, but more because of the beauty of the surroundings and people who assume, if I can't be happy here, I can't be happy anywhere. Money is not all there is to life, as so many have found here in this community. There can be no question that this text challenges us to look at what is essential in our lives and where our energy goes in living. But the young man in Scripture couldn't do it. We read that he went away sorrowful. Sorrowful, a very interesting choice of words. Think of what you usually associate with sorrow. Maybe you're thinking as you listen to this message, "I'm not going away sorry, I'm going away mad that she talked about it." Or maybe you're thinking, "I'm going away guilty." But that's not the word and the implication that Jesus is bringing here. Mark says he went away sorrowful, not guilty that he wasn't doing more to help the poor, as so often we feel when we're challenged by this text. Sorrow, in grief because he was missing something. He lacked something. The young man cannot make that up for himself. Even with his many possessions, that thing which he lacks, he knows that he's missing the fullness of life that God intends for him. As we read on into this text, and I'm not going to spend much time here this morning, the disciples were really perplexed to hear this message from Jesus as he taught on this theme, because in those times, wealth was a sign of God's favor. But there's no way to escape Jesus' words in this text. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. As we struggle to work with that, even as we wish we may have that problem to struggle with, we need to look at ourselves and see how we are living in the richness of life of God that God intends for us, a wealth that is not based in money. And there is good news in this, even in this text of challenge. As we seek to unravel this reality, to live it out in a culture which glorifies money and self-sufficiency, we can hear Jesus' words anew. Follow me, Jesus says, and we will find the way together. Learn from those who are in the pews around you, and they will help you find the way together. It won't be a life free of hardship. Jesus says that there will be times of persecution, but following wherever God leads us will enable us to rely upon God to help sort it all out. Jesus invites us in this text to remember that it isn't the things of the world, but in the following of Christ, the dependence upon God, that we find true life and meaning. With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Those opportunities, my friends, abound for each one of us, and there's good news for us there. We have this good news in our gospel, daily opportunities to follow more closely as we grow in faith, learn together what it means to follow and worship God, and recognize that power in our lives to serve others in the manner of Christ. May it be so in these weeks and in the weeks to come, as we wrestle with this challenging command of Jesus our Lord, and as we claim the life that God intends for each one of us. For with God, all things are possible. Amen.
Please stand and repeat with me the affirmation of faith, taken from the fourth chapter of Hebrews and printed in your bulletin. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in need.
Well, Irene and Ryan Broderick and Jerison Roca, please come forward. Having met with the session of the church, you are here to declare your faith and be joined with this congregation in the service of Jesus Christ.
Let them see you. Irene and Ryan and Jerison, Jesus Christ has chosen you and in baptism has joined you to himself as members of the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church universal. You do not come to us as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now that he has brought you to this time and place, you may confess his name before our sisters and brothers here in this community and go out to serve him as faithful disciples. Please show your intention to unite with this church by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend to be his disciple, to obey his word and to show his love? Do you promise to be faithful members of this congregation, giving of yourselves in every way, what a challenge after that sermon, to fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior?
And this is a question to the congregation. Do we, the people of this church, promise to welcome and involve these new members, share our faith and ministry together, so that we may grow as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, say we do.
We do. Let us pray. Gracious and ever-loving God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people, for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for the gifts that you have brought to this congregation in and through Irene, Ryan, and Gerson today, for the ways that you are at work already in their lives, for the ways they have yet to discover that in our life together. Together, O Lord, may we all live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the mind of Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory both now and for all time. Amen. Friends, you are now disciples of Jesus Christ in this congregation. Live into his love and serve him. Let the message of Christ dwell deeply within you, and may all that you do, in word and in deed, in service and in love, be to his glory alone. Welcome to this ministry together with us. Amen. Welcome. Great to have you. Great to have you here. Welcome. Great. And to work with you next week. Gerson will be preaching next week. We put him to work right away around here. He was a longtime candidate of Christ is Life Congregation, and since they have closed, he has moved his membership to us, and he'll be preaching for us next week.
With a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, let us now receive the tithes and offerings. us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks and praise for your abundant blessings. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to your good news. We ask that you bless them and multiply them and use them to fill our community with the joy and love of Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.
Go out into the world. And now to the one who is able to do abundantly more than we can ever ask or require, to the only wise God, be glory and blessing in Christ Jesus our Lord forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Amen.